Welcome to CT Expert Insights. When your business needs expert advice on compliance issues, you can count on us. We provide tips, tools, and strategies to help you at every stage of your business's life cycle.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Our guest this week is Ian Bone, Senior Manager of Strategy and Innovation for CT Corporation. He's with us today to talk about how to do the deal the right way. Whether we're talking about a merger, a spin-off, or a financing agreement, the details are always very important. And Ian, thanks very much for being with us.
All right, thanks for having me.
Well, when it comes to the due diligence in evaluating a deal before you sign the dotted line, what are those key areas to look at when it comes to due diligence?
So, of course, obviously the financials are very, very important. That's probably the main thing that people think about when it comes to due diligence, getting deep into the numbers and making sure that the deal is going to make financial sense. But it's also very important to understand the operations of the company, if there are any operational risks, if there are any legal liabilities that you may be inheriting, who actually owns the intellectual property that you think that you're buying, and really making sure that the company that you're getting is definitely what you think it is. There are a lot of very interesting ways that companies can be structured these days, especially if you're buying something that came from a spinoff, to make sure that you're actually getting the assets that you think that you have with the customers that you think that they have and identifying any key risk points or potential deal breakers that might be out there.
Of course, if you're putting the deal together, the goal is to win the deal. So there are a number of different aspects to try and make it more attractive to whoever else is involved here. It could refer to capital and investment and involvement and simply just making the deal the most attractive if there are other competitors out there. So what are the keys to that?
So obviously making sure that you have your capital lined up is a very important thing. And there are lots of different sources that you can go to these days. It's not just, when you think about buying a house, it's just you go to the bank for a mortgage, right? But when you're buying a company, there are lots of different kinds of financing providers that you can be going to, capital providers. So making sure that you understand that you have that balance properly, that with what you're trying to do in your deal, whether it's short-term, long-term, side-by-side joint venture partnerships, co-investing, that you have it all set up right, but also making sure that, the seller obviously is looking for the best deal, you're looking for the best deal. You should both be trying to win together in this, and so we've seen a lot of things with the narrative of what you're going to do with the deal, how you're going to actually be taking this company and continuing to grow it, whether the seller is going to stay involved or not, which can also affect your structuring of the deal and how you actually buy the seller out over time, perhaps, instead of in a lump sum. So a lot of things go into it, really making sure that every party involved is in the best position when they come out of the deal and that everyone is really a winner when they're getting this done.
Ian, obviously there are so many moving parts to any significant deal, so there are many different areas that you need to focus on to make sure that the deal goes smoothly. And let's just talk about a couple of those in the time that we have. First of all, with respect to strategic planning, what do you need to keep in mind there?
Yeah, so just like in real estate, location, location, location. With deals, it's planning, planning, planning. So making sure that you have both a strategic plan for how you're going to be managing things throughout the deal process, which can sometimes become quite long, and that you're very well tied in with your lawyers and financial advisors and things like that, and a seller is also, and that you have everything lined up for what that process is going to look like, that you look at all of your partners that are out there, that everyone's on the same page, everyone's communicating well. Communication is key. Somebody dropping the ball is going to end up being the thing that kills the deal or costs you a lot of extra money that you weren't expecting to spend. But also planning ahead for the future so that post-close you know what you're going to do, how you're going to deploy things, what your strategy is going forward, and that you're not kind of just left holding a basket of goods that you thought you could do something with and then nothing actually gets done.
How about when it comes to preparation?
So, yeah, preparation with your partners. So that's sitting down and understanding, what is your lawyer going to do? What is the bank going to do? What does the bank expect of you? Who are the other players in this? Who are your different due diligence providers? How involved are they in each step? How crucial? I mean, obviously, all due diligence is crucial. But, you know, where are the choke points that you might be running up against? We definitely see here at CT that there are times where people need something with a one-hour turnaround. Sometimes that's because something changed last minute and they need to have it done right. And sometimes it's because there was, you know, some mismanagement of time and planning, and all of a sudden they realize that, you know, item number 49 on the checklist is actually the most important one, and they could have maybe had that done earlier on. But that wasn't planned for in advance. So it's important to both prepare what your time frames are and when things need to happen by, but also to make sure that you're working with partners that can step in and help you if something really critical happens at the last minute that you need to make sure is going to get done for the deal to happen.
As you've explained so well, this is a fairly lengthy process, or at least can be, depending on the type of deal that's being arranged. So when it comes to managing the deal process life cycle, what does that look like?
So, you know, it really is something that you need to kind of have a plan going in, what that process is going to be. These things have a wide range of timelines, right? So if you're going out and getting a financing, that might only take a certain amount of time. If you're doing a spin-off, that's not just internal preparation to get to kind of separate out the businesses and decide, you know, what's staying where and who's going with what, but then you have to find the buyer or the exit plan for that, actually enact on that, and then if there is an exit plan where you're selling off part of the spin-off, then you get into the same timeline that you have for an acquisition, but on the other side, right? So you could be looking at anywhere from a couple months to get through the due diligence and rigmarole that's in a financing to a multi-month or year process if you're doing spin-off that involves an acquisition by somebody else. So understanding really what you're trying to do strategically for your company, what kind of turnaround time you need to get it done in, which will affect what kind of counterparty you're willing to take on. If you need something, if you need to sell something quick, then you know your returns may not be the same as if you could be a bit more strategic about where something's going. Same thing with buying. If you want to buy it now, you're going to probably pay a premium to get it done quicker, right? So understanding what that is, having a plan, working with partners that understand that, being very clear in your communications about what needs to be done and on what timeline is really crucial to coming out at the end of it with the expectations that you went in.
And you mentioned earlier about somehow priorities can shift in the process of working out the deal. Line item 49 you mentioned could end up being number one. There's also the things that you could potentially anticipate being problems, but sometimes you can't. So what are some of the common or last-minute issues that can somehow delay or even threaten one of these deals?
So we've seen a lot of different things pop up in due diligence that you weren't expecting. It could be that you're looking at buying a company and there's some reputational risk that you just never expected to be there. Maybe there's an executive you find out has a little bit closer political ties to a certain the client or something like that, or contracts that maybe you didn't realize, and now you've got to reevaluate whether you want to complete this, what that involves. If there's somebody that's kind of maybe too crucial in the business that you need to add in extra things about making sure they stick around, that they're not getting their payday and disappearing with all of the clients that you thought that they were holding in there, or that that they were the one skilled person. So it's about being nimble and reacting to things. So you can't just kind of go in blindly and say, we're going to get this deal done no matter what, but that everything has a way to be resolved. And you have to remember also that if you're the buyer of a company, that the seller, everyone's kid is the smartest kid in class, right? So the company is their baby. It's like another child. They've been nurturing it and growing it and preparing it for this moment to go off into the world and be sold to you. So they think it's the most special snowflake ever, but you may find out that it's maybe not the best thing. So you've got to find very political ways of coming to agreements on what really you're taking on. If you find out, we've had a food manufacturing company that I found out had a couple incidences where they had product recalls about allergens in the food. So you go in and you make sure that they've actually fixed those problems. And if they haven't, find out why. And if it's a systemic issue, then that's something you really need to evaluate, whether you want to take that on, can you solve that kind of a thing. Understanding, you know, sometimes you can find out more about the company culture as you're interacting with people throughout the deal process, and that may change how you view things. So it's about going in with your eyes open, having a plan, but being nimble on how you react to what you find. But there's always a solution to get to the end. It's just making sure you get to the end that you want to be at.
Quick exit question for you, Ian. Obviously, we've been talking about due diligence throughout our conversation here, but knowing what to provide due diligence on is critical. So what kind of checklist, what kind of ability is there to know all the bases that need to be covered throughout this process?
So I would be a bad person if I told you there was just one checklist that you need to follow. There are lots of different things by industry, so you really making sure to educate yourself about what industry you're kind of going into in a deal to make sure that you have the appropriate checklist there. Lawyers generally are very good about knowing this information, as well as if you have an investment banker helping you. But what I would say is that there are certain industry-specific elements that you need to kind of tack on to your basic checklist of due diligence. And so making sure that you kind of get all of those bases covered, whether it's if you're exposing yourself to certain environmental risks with something, or operational, if there's a lot of supply chain elements. So if there's a lot of intellectual property in like a tech company. So there's kind of a basic guideline that all of your lawyers will help you do, but that when you're selecting who you're working with and who your partners are, making sure that they also have the deep industry expertise to know what to add on to your offer, to your due diligence process is very, very, very important.
A lot to keep in mind throughout the process, but Ian, you've helped us understand it a whole lot better. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Ian Bone is Senior Manager of Strategy and Innovation at CT Corporation. I'm Greg Corumbus, and for more information on this topic, please call CT at 844-787-7782.
With 125 years of experience, CT is here to help you at every stage of the business life cycle.